May the words that I speak be guided by your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
What's in a name? When you looked at who was in the preacher slot this morning, you may have wondered who it was. I know when the current circuit plan came out and I kept seeing this Mills appearing, I'm thinking, who's that? Oh yeah, it's me. 3 weeks in to changing a surname. I'm at that tricky phase. I've started changing my name. So the bank knows who I am. Every time I sign my signature, I think, who am I signing as? Who am I? And in the log at Angelita Corks, we have to sign in. There's this fire safety log. I've become double-barreled because almost every day I put Jane Mason. Oh, Mills. Something that's important to me. It's not that I've forgotten it. It's just that in the moment, I just fall back into the habit. You don't realise it's autopilot when you sign your name. You just sign your name. And I have been signing it that way, well, since I could write, for 39 years. So it's been a long time. And I think that's very telling in the gospel reading. It's quite reassuring in a way that this keeps happening to the disciples. They know something. Jesus teaches them something. They take it on board. Then they just slip back into their normal practice. This verse here, Jesus is trying to teach them about the equality of God, that everybody is equal in God's sight. And I imagine them sat there saying, yes, yes, that's great. We understand. Jesus uses a child as an example, and there's no coincidence in that. In that society, as I understand it, the child did not have a status at all. They weren't a person until they came of age. They were lower even than women. So Jesus took somebody that was one of the lowest in their society and said, to welcome me, you have to welcome this person. And they may have found that quite shocking because they didn't necessarily see the child as a person. But I imagine them thinking, oh yeah, okay, I understand. Then almost immediately following this in Mark's Gospel is the verse that we have at baptism. Let the children come to me, do not try to stop them. As Charlie said this morning, we don't know the Gospel is written chronologically, but it's told just after this, just after he's told them, welcome a child and you welcome me. Immediately, they try to stop the children coming to Jesus or being taken to Jesus for a blessing. I find it reassuring that the people that lived with Jesus and were taught directly by Jesus in person immediately forgot things as well. Our cultural conditioning, our societal conditioning sometimes just takes over and we act before we think what it is we're actually doing. And it starts with another situation, which again, I imagine we all have at some time. Jesus didn't want them to know where they were going because they wanted some quiet time. He wanted to teach the disciples. And wherever they went, they didn't get that because people came. So they wanted some quiet time. He wanted to teach the disciples one-to-one. Okay, it's the first thing on my mind, back to weddings. A number of people were quite shocked that I was telling people where we were going on honeymoon. It was one of the bits of mythology, tradition, wrapped up in weddings. I'd got no idea that you're not supposed to tell people where you're going on honeymoon. I think that stems back from the time where you would have gone to Scarborough or Bognor or Brighton, and the family may well have followed. You get to the hotel and they're all booked in already, which wouldn't really be ideal, would it? None of my family have got enough money to go to Mauritius, so it wasn't a problem. I don't think we did, but we'll be paying for it for a while. And there's so much that people have in their mind about what's right and what's the done thing. Sometimes we stumble into them without realising that we're doing that. So they want to go somewhere to have some quality teaching time together. And he starts teaching them. They find it, we imagine. And he starts teaching them a second time. Because last time, we heard last week, he tried to tell them that he was going to die. It had to happen for the fulfillment of the gospel, of the Old Testament, of prophecy. And Peter, it was last week, who said, no, stop talking like that. You're not going to die. So he's trying to tell them again, this is how it has to be. Then they get to this new place. They get to Capernaum, another place on their journey. And he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? Again, something they've already taught them about. Who is the greatest? Which is why he goes on to pick up the child. In God's kingdom, no one is greatest. We are all equal in God's sight. I like the fact that they keep quiet because they knew what they were arguing about was wrong. You almost imagine them sort of looking at their toes, you know. We shouldn't have been doing that. We knew we shouldn't have done that. But I also am amused by the fact they think Jesus wouldn't actually know what it was they were talking about on the road. Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Again, in this culture, as I understand it, there was a strict protocol to who sat where on a table. Even in our society, we still talk about the head of the table. The most important guest would sit at the head, and the least important at the foot, and everybody else would be graded, you know, in importance, depending how close to the top of the table you were sat. And Jesus tries to turn this on his head. Instead of people shuffling to be closest to the top, he's saying, actually, we ought to be shuffling to be closest to the bottom. And I thought, that's actually, on reflection, very British, isn't it? We're less likely to say, no, I'm greater than you. It's no, you're greater than me. You're greater than me. Oh, my artwork's not very good. You're far better than me. Or maybe that's just the way I am. Very dismissive of our own gifts. But that's not what God wants of us either. God wants us to utilise the gifts we've been given. And to acknowledge that they come from God, and to acknowledge that they do good. To deny yourself, you have to value yourself. It's not difficult to put aside something you don't really like, you don't think is much worth. But to really acknowledge your own worth and put that aside for somebody else, that is of great worth. It's a difficult line to walk. We shouldn't acknowledge our gifts and say, aren't we wonderful? Look at all these things I do for God. My place in the kingdom is assured. We shouldn't do things because we think, oh, this will look good on my CV or my celestial CV. We should do things because we know they're right. We should do things because in our very heart, we think this is what I would want somebody to do for me if I was in that position. Who in our society would Jesus stand before us as the example? Depends on the culture you're in. There have been times when many of us would have been overlooked because of our age, our skin colour, our gender, our background, our ability or disability. We're raising money for BCHAR. There are people very close to us in our community that see homeless people as second-class citizens. And I think that's partly because we like to think of us and them, because we then don't realise that they're but for the grace of God. For a few missed mortgage repayments, it could be any one of us. They aren't any different to us. Life has just treated them differently. We don't know what's led them to that point. And Jesus would ask us to think in our hearts, if we were homeless, what would we welcome this harvest time? Some understanding, some shelter, some warmth. In the epistle reading from James, talks a bit about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Well, that's how I read it anyway. There is a difference between head knowledge. You can study at university and have half a dozen degrees, but not be wise. Yes, I'm a Yorkshire lass, and wisdom for me is far more about common sense. It's about how you apply what you know and how that affects other people. Who is wise and understanding amongst you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. We should not have to boast and tell people of our faith and our goodness. It should be evident in our lives. There are many things that we do that we regret. There are many things that happen we struggle to understand. It's great to have the head knowledge that in God all can be achieved, but taking that into your heart can be very different. I know it to be true, but there are things I struggle to come to terms with. I know God has a plan. At times I struggle to see my part in it, or how something that happens is a part of it. Sometimes we just have to acknowledge that we don't understand. Put all of our worries at the foot of the cross and rest in the assurance of that wonderful grace that forgives everything. Amen.
Amen.